Video creators, live Google Plus Hangout on air. This is going to be an awesome time. I'm really looking forward to hanging out with each of these guys. I'm learning a lot from each of them because they are going to be talking with us a little bit today about something that I personally am very interested in. And these guys have been thinking about this much more deeply and longer than I have, so I'm really looking forward to gleaning from a lot of their wisdom. So it's going to be a really great evening. We're going to be talking about monetizing your YouTube audience outside of AdSense. We all know and love and appreciate the revenue that comes from advertising that YouTube displays against our videos. And while that's awesome, there's sometimes a little bit more supply than there is demand. And so we don't always make enough to make our content sustainable and really pay what we need to get paid in order to produce the value that our subscribers want and appreciate and expect from us. So these guys here have each spent a lot of time exploring other options beyond AdSense. Today we're going to be talking about crowdfunding, and not just like Kickstarter and Indiegogo type of crowdfunding where it's like for a project, but like ongoing subscription-based crowdfunding. We'll hear from some of these guys about that. Also, if you create like a membership website maybe that people can pay like a monthly fee to be a part of like premium access to like premium content or maybe extra bonus features or things like that. Or maybe you can, if you have 10,000 subscribers or more, you can also sign up for and use one of YouTube's paid subscription channels where people actually pay like a monthly fee to access your content on your YouTube channel. And there's merchandise sales and like lots of different ways people are doing this. We're going to talk about that here tonight. Let's introduce our guests. Let you guys know who we've got hanging out with us. Aaron, you want to go first? Tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do.
Sure. Hi, I'm Aaron Wysocki. I'm the Director of Marketing for the Young Turks Network. Sometimes we call ourselves the TYT Network. I may refer to that later. My responsibilities include social media, YouTube optimization, and management of our YouTube MCN partners. We're a small boutique, multi-platform network with approximately 40 partners. We at the Young Turks Network have tried pretty much all of the revenue streams that we're going to talk about today, I think. We've tried crowdfunding, we have a membership option on our website, and we also have a paid premium YouTube channel. So my main point tonight will be try everything. Back in 05 when the Young Turks started broadcasting on YouTube, we dove right into the partnership program on YouTube, and none of us really knew what it would turn out to be, and if we had not had that opinion to try everything, we would not be where we are today as a company. So I'm really excited to hear what everybody else here has to say tonight.
Cool. Thanks for being with us. Jack, tell us a little bit about what you do and who you are and Patreon.
Sure, yeah. My name is Jack Conti, and I started uploading YouTube videos in about 2007. And I have a band with my girlfriend called Pomplamoose, and we put out a bunch of videos between 2007 and like 2012. We haven't uploaded in about a year now because I've been focusing on my own videos and Natalie's been focusing on hers. I do like hardcore EDM electronic kind of niche stuff, I think. And recently I've been doing a bunch of remixes and things like that. Although in the last 3 months I've been running this crowdfunding company that I started called Patreon, that's ongoing crowdfunding for creators, for people who release stuff on a regular basis, and so we've been fundraising for that and just trying to implement, you know, new technologies and new tools for creators to help them make a living. So right now on Patreon we've got a bunch of creators who are making, you know, thousands of dollars per piece of content that they release. And I think it's starting to work, which is really exciting. Yeah. So I'm starting to devote more time to it. And yeah, that's who I am and that's what I'm doing.
Sweet. Exciting. And the guys from TubeStart, tell us a little about who you guys are and what you do.
Good evening. First of all, thanks for having us. My name is Joseph Holm. This is my partner, Claude Shires. We're the founders of TubeStart. CubeStart is really a crowdfunding community that we designed specifically for YouTube creators. We started our own YouTube channel called Stand Up Bits a while ago, and we licensed a lot of content, and we started uploading it, and we basically ran into the same problems that everyone else has, that AdSense revenue just didn't make up for the investment that we have to make to buy the content, edit the content, you know, do all the sound design, graphics design, and all this stuff, all these steps that need to happen before content can even be uploaded, and then SEO it, and then hope to make some money. And we, you know, we had the first 1,000,000 views, and we made $2,000, and we were like, it's just not going to add up, you know. And so we looked into other crowdfunding sites, and we looked at Kickstarter, we looked at Indiegogo, and we didn't really find anything that was really specifically designed for what we wanted to do, especially the problem on these large mainstream crowdfunding sites, in my opinion, is simply that you get lost in those, you know, high-profile, multi-million-dollar kind of campaigns that really get all the spotlight, and it just really didn't just meet our needs, you know. And then we were talking about it, and we thought crowdfunding was really cool, and that could really change things, and then we kind of came up with the idea for TubeStart. And TubeStart is really meant to be a YouTube-centric platform, but that offers all the same features that all the other crowdfunding platforms have too. So we have the Kickstarter model, the all or nothing. We have the Indiegogo model, the flexible model. You know, you just need to hit the tipping point and you keep the rest. And then we came up with our version of the subscription-based crowdfunding model, which basically allows you to set up a monthly recurring campaign that your fans, your super fans, can subscribe to in exchange for access to exclusive content, you know, perks like that, access to free, you know, early preview access to your feature content, maybe, or whatnot. And we've also designed the content delivery system that makes it super easy for you as a campaign manager to deliver that content straight to the people who are active supporters of your campaign.
Yeah, cool.
So pretty much, you know, we're trying to help people set up campaigns and raise money and you know, fulfill their dreams on YouTube.
Yeah, sweet. Well, we got a lot to learn from you guys here tonight. Looks like you got some fans here from Katie Morton, I'm guessing, is in Santa Monica along with you guys.
Hey, Katie!
And we got a lot of people just popping in saying hi, Push the Game, hi, welcome, thanks for hanging out with us. Ergo from Social Blade says, hey, everybody. Katie Morton says hi again. And thank you very much for liking my professional intro. I pulled that all out of my butt as we got started. Forgot to put that together. And Ethan, thanks for hanging out with us. Thanks for being a fan. Get Snow Dogs. We got a lot of you guys here, and we are definitely going to be taking a lot of your questions and talking with you guys about some of the questions you have surrounding how you guys are going to monetize the stuff that you do and how you're going to deliver that value to your subscribers. So if you have questions, please feel free to comment, whether you're watching this on YouTube or on Google+, if you're on that event page, either place. Don't tweet them to me. I'm not watching Twitter right now. So either one of those two places would be the best to post any questions, and some of you guys even asked questions ahead of time. We're definitely going to get to some of those as well. So the format tonight is going to be a little different. I have a ton of questions I want to talk to these guys about. Hopefully, they will answer a lot of your questions. We're not going to be doing channel reviews tonight and a lot of that kind of stuff. Just tons of questions about this stuff. So first of all, though, before we get started, do any of you guys have something that you just want to say, like a little piece of training, a little bit of information, or a little bit of encouragement, or anything, just really briefly, like 2 minutes, 1 minute or so, just saying, like, hey, I think YouTube creators need to hear this, or they need to know that, or they need to start doing this. Like, so a little brief piece of training for these guys.
I really liked Aaron's advice. Just try everything. And not only, like, try everything, like, all platforms and all ways of monetizing, but just as, like, a general philosophy of life, I think it's a great idea. Just keep trying things until something works. And especially as a creator, I mean, Pomplamoose, which is my band with my girlfriend, we have about 100 million hits on YouTube. And one of the questions that we get is like, how did you guys know it was Pomplamoose and you did this Pomplamoose thing and it worked and then there's all the stuff that happened afterwards? And what we kind of try to tell everybody all the time is we didn't like plan that. That was one of the hundreds of projects that we were doing, and it happened to be the one that got a response from the audience, so we started making more of those videos. But I think the idea of just trying a lot of stuff, throw spaghetti at the wall and see what sticks, I think is a really great, I like that philosophy. So
I don't like when my kids throw spaghetti against the wall.
Well, I think I will jump in there because yeah. I think it's really important to employ something like a YouTube first strategy, but not a YouTube only kind of strategy. YouTube is the world's biggest distribution and discovery platform. That's just the way it is. Mm-hmm. And it's great. They give you so much. You know, you can upload your content for free, and in theory, you can reach a billion people. You know, show me something else that has the power to do that. Maybe it doesn't have the power to pay all your bills so far, because it's really shifting from funny cat videos to more professional channels and to artists who really see this as a career. And I think it's really cool as a creator these days. I mean, you know, you have Patreon, you have Kickstarter, you have Indiegogo, now you have TubeStart. I mean, you have more options than ever before to try and supplement, kind of offset some of these production costs. And then I agree with Jack that try everything also in terms of crowdfunding platforms, see what works for you, because mm-hmm. that's exactly our point. You know, I'm trying to have all the different crowdfunding types on the platform available to people, because who am I to tell you what works best for you? You choose what works best for you in a YouTube community and have that benefit, right? So that's yeah. our angle. But really, I mean, try everything, you know?
Yeah, cool. And you got anything or no?
Yeah, I think the only thing I would add is create something you love. Don't just create to make money.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, yeah.
I was going to say that, too.
You do like a fist bump on that one.
It's hard to be good at anything you're not really passionate about. And I just want to just interject this really quickly. So exciting that for the first time in history, really, you know, audiences have always kind of been held. The network television has held the gateway to those audiences. But now with YouTube and the various other platforms out there for delivery, kind of levels the playing field for creators. So if you're passionate about something, you know, it's unmistakable and recognizable by an audience, you know, give them a chance to find you.
Yeah. Cool. Thanks, guys. We got a bunch of people who are really looking forward to this. Ami says, this is going to be a very interesting hangout. I definitely agree. And Josh, he's looking forward to this as well. Thanks for hanging out with us, Josh. And Lauren thinks that you guys are an excellent team, and so you got big shoes to fill here. And this is Andrew Caldwell. I just visited Patreon for the first time the other day. One of the YouTubers I watched set up a campaign. Seems like it's going well for him, so that's cool. And Katie says that she's thrown almost 200 pieces of spaghetti, video spaghetti, at the YouTube wall, and it's starting to stick. So awesome. Good advice, and thank you all you guys for, again, if you have any questions, we're going to hit those up at the end. But for now, I have a lot of personal, selfish questions to very different things to ask, because this is something that's really, that I've been thinking a little bit about lately, because I started Video Creators back in January, launched the channel at the end of the month, and I've been devoting myself full time to this for the past, since June 15th, so 2 months, and just living off of savings right now, because we were doing well, you know, before then, and so we're living off, you know, the fruit of that, yeah. So here we are, and I'm like, I'm going to invest into this. Like, I believe in this. There's something here. There's, like, a lot of people who are talking about this from, like, a video marketing perspective, but, like, I really believe in, like, the guy who just, like, what about, the mom out there who's, you know, has a story, like, maybe she gone through some, like, sexual abuse, and she has, a story that can give, like, hope to a lot of people. And she, like, her mess is potentially life-changing, but she's not going to pay someone to help her spread that message, and she's not, you know, like, so I want to make this content available for free to everyone and help everyone who might have a message that could change the world, like, potentially help partner them and help them spread that message. So I don't want to lock it behind a paywall, but yet, you know, I'm at this point now where it's like, I've been doing this full-time for 2 months, and AdSense, obviously, you know, it's like a couple hundred, but it's not going to pay rent, you know, so, excuse me. So this is something like, which direction do I go? So I'm hoping that you guys give me a lot of feedback here and a lot of good stuff. And the first thing I want to hear from you guys about is how does a creator decide what is the best funding model for their channel? Like, what factors should they consider? I know you guys are saying, like, hey, just try everything, but can you guys give them a little direction of, like, what they might try first that might go into a decision of, like, should I start with a crowdfunding campaign? Should I start with a paid website? Should I start by, like, selling some merchandise? Should I go to, like, a paid YouTube subscription channel? Like, how do I kind of figure out which option might work the best for me? Do you guys have any ideas or feedback on that?
Well, if nobody else wants to start, I have some thoughts about that. It's funny. There's a bubble going on right now, and maybe it's not really a bubble, but it sometimes it feels like it. There's a bubble of users versus dollars, and I've found it to actually be quite. True and useful, and in that sense, I feel weird calling it a bubble because I believe in it. But the idea is that what is valuable is not necessarily dollars, but is users, which is why Instagram didn't even have, a revenue model and sold for $1 billion to Facebook because they had whatever 26 million users or something.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was kind of thinking I was going to be doing here, too, is like, well, let's just start build video creators, let's build it, and then figure out the money part.
But that really is the first step. You know, you have to build your audience first, and that's the cool thing about YouTube, that, you know, you can have a couple of hundred thousands of followers, which is already, makes you a big channel, but you can still not live off of it.
Right.
It just doesn't pay the bills. But it might be enough of an audience to set up a crowdfunding campaign or set something up on Patreon. And you can just tell your people, look, AdSense is just not cutting it. It's not working. There is, this is how much I make. Be upfront about it. Always be honest. Never try and lie. You know, it's like something that we're going to talk about later when it comes to how to structure your campaign and how to run your campaign. Yeah. But it's just really important that you just, sell it to your audience the right way and explain it to them. And not just go, look, oh, here's the button, click it and donate,
Yeah.
What
you just give them a button that says "Give me all your money"? Like,
yeah. Yeah. Because advertisers only value views and demographics, right? But YouTube fans, they really value small channels that produce content like yours.
Yeah.
Which is something you cannot get anywhere else in the world. So I will totally give you $5 a month so you can keep producing. Yes. It totally makes sense.
Where's my donation button, man? Forgot about that. Yeah, Aaron, what do you think factors should be considered when trying to make a decision about which direction to start with
this? Well, so I have different opinions on each thing. On merch, I think everybody who's creating content on YouTube on a regular basis should be selling merch. I mean, even if you're only making a couple dollars off of it, still it's a revenue stream that I would try.
By merch, you mean like T-shirts, mugs,
yeah, cups, anything hats, and everything. Yep, pencils. When we set up Cafe Press accounts, we set up Spreadshirt accounts, we set District Lines, we just sold everything. And, the last thing I'll say about merch is, at least in our experience, it doesn't provide a large revenue stream. So that leads, is a nice segue to, building a website paid membership program. I guess my piece of advice there would be, really know your audience and know how large your audience is and know what you're providing that audience. Our membership program on our website, people don't become members just to get the content. They also become members to be a part of a community, an online community.
Absolutely.
And that's a pretty important part of the membership thing.
And by that, do you mean like a forum or do you mean something bigger than that?
No, something bigger than that. We call it TYT Army sometimes. We call it TYT Nation. They feel like they have an extra level of helping this show succeed, because they're personally invested in our success. Awesome. And we've sort of taken steps all along the way to really drive home that point to our audience. And I guess my piece of advice on crowdfunding would be it boils down to what your idea is. Is it compelling enough to rise above the top of everything else that's going on right now? Because there's a lot of crowdfunding going on. And so, my piece of advice would be, what is that idea, and is it really compelling enough, and does the world really need this thing now? Those are the questions that I would ask myself.
Yeah, and I'm assuming you would have to believe your answers to those questions, right, in order for it to be compelling. I'd be like, I need the money now, so let's go with that.
Well, I mean, there's been a lot of press around some big YouTubers having some trouble with crowdfunding in the past year, and I think that really boils down to framing and, you know, and how they presented that idea, and was it really compelling enough?
Yeah. So let's say you guys, someone decides to go with a crowdfunding campaign. How do they go about determining how much money their audience might support them for, what an appropriate goal might, you know, be for their campaign, for like a monthly goal? Like, how do they go about figuring, because you don't want to be like, hey, I have 500 subscribers and my monthly goal is $500,000 a month, right? Like, that's probably not going to work unless, I don't know, how would you go about figuring out like what might be a reasonable number to shoot for there?
I think a good point to start at would be to try and figure out, you know, how much you need, come up with a production budget. I mean, that would be a really good first start, you know, and try and figure out how much do I really need. Has it to be a fixed funding campaign? If I don't reach this goal, I can't make it happen. Or is it something like, all right, so if I can raise $3,500, I can do this, and if I raise $5,000, I can do that. So those are all factors that come into play when you decide how much you really want to ask for.
Yeah.
What we have seen, and we've only been around for a week now, and only have 12 campaigns, but we've seen across the board is that people like to ask for a little more than they should. And I always tell them, you know, ask for a reasonable amount, really think about it, because people are going to ask you. And that's something that I want to talk about later, and maybe you're going to have some questions in that direction too, but it's just part of, if you want to do crowdfunding, you have to do it the right way, which means you have to be transparent, which means you have to have a budget, you need to be able to answer questions. Mm-hmm. I'm like, yo, Tim, you know, why do you think you need $5,000 a month? Because you don't have to take your wife out for fancy dinner? Or is that really a production budget? You know, what's going on? So you have to answer these questions quickly. And the
keeping
right
my
way.
Wife happy would make my production go way down, too, by the way, just saying. Well,
and a great example of that transparency is what Freddie Wong did, you know,
yes,
when he had his crowdfunding thing. He released all those notes on what exactly he was spending the money on.
Yeah.
I guess the only thing I would add to that is to also study the market to see what successful campaigns that have worked in the past and, you know, how much have they gone for, you know, what can you learn from them? And then know your audience. Where your demos are pretty important. You know, if you have 14-year-olds watching your content, then the amount of money they can give is going to be a lot different than 35-year-olds, you know.
But they might buy a lot of swag, though.
Right.
I'm guessing more so than, I don't know. What do you think, Jack? How does someone go about determining how much money they might would be a good level for them to set for their campaign budget?
Yeah. So the one thing that we're realizing on Patreon is that it really depends on the creator. Knowing your audience. Knowing your community, if your community is super active, involved, I mean, you know, I have a good sense of what my fans will do for me. I think a lot of creators do, but startup creators who haven't been doing things for a long time, they've only been maybe uploading videos for 6 months or a year, sometimes it's harder to gauge your audience. But what I was saying when my phone died earlier was that, you know, I think working, instead of monetizing that your fan base, I think working on building a fan base is the most important thing. Just working on building a community, understanding people, knowing these people who like your stuff, feeling grateful for having the support of those people to watch and listen to what you're doing. I mean, that's such a huge thing. And connecting with them first through social media, all that is so important. Building and growing and maintaining that fan base, I think, is of the utmost importance before even thinking about monetizing an audience.
Yes, and that's so important. That's really because a lot of people think that uploading and publishing their crowdfunding campaign, that's kind of like, that's it. Now work's done. Now money's going to flow in. And we're like, no, wait, this is just the beginning. You're running a campaign here.
Yeah.
You know, and that's really, really important. First of all, if you don't have an audience, it's going to be really tough. Because a lot of people don't realize this is called crowdfunding, right? This is your crowd. You need to have a crowd. Only a certain amount of donations will come from people who surf the site just for new cool stuff.
Yeah.
You know, the majority of your donations or contributions will come from your first and second degree social circle. And if you don't motivate those, if you don't bring those to your campaign, then there's no way on earth you're ever going to get funded.
Yeah. So let's talk about the subscriber base. How large of a following does someone need in order to make to have a successful crowdfunding campaign? Is there a minimum level you kind of need? Like, if you have below this, don't think about starting that yet. You should instead focus on something else. Anything like that? What have you guys seen?
It depends on how much you want. So we have some creators who have, you know, maybe a couple thousand subscribers. And when they release content on Patreon, they're maybe making $152 per video, you know, $200 per video, something like that, which is great for them because it's 10 times or 100 times more what they're making through AdSense. So they're stoked about those numbers.
Yeah.
But they didn't have to – on Patreon, you don't set a, you know, a threshold. It's not like Kickstarter. So they're not choosing a number ahead of time. And in that sense, you know, it sort of – you can want. It's just – you know, don't be disappointed at first when you don't see the conversion. And what we found on Patreon is that the general conversion is about 2%. So if you can send 100 people to the site, two of them will become patrons at an average of $6 per piece of content that you're releasing.
Okay, that's really helpful.
Yeah.
I think it really depends on the idea too. You know, we've run two crowdfunding campaigns in the past, and I remember one of the campaigns, I sent the idea to a neutral party, a relative of mine who had no idea what I was doing or what it was, and I said, would you give to this? I think that if the idea is compelling enough too, there is a sense of it'll get outside of your audience, it'll get your core audience. So I mean, the actual number isn't really the 100% of what's important, in my opinion.
Yeah. So how would you guys go about, and I realize this, we could talk all night about this one question, so see if we can keep it brief, but like a step-by-step advice for how someone would go about creating a campaign, to like planning it, to launching it, to promoting it. You guys give us like some good advice for step one, do this, do this, do this, do this.
Step one, it's actually free, download the crowdfunding Bible. Step two, read the crowdfunding Bible. And step three, apply the principles within. It absolutely goes through every facet of engaging your audience, testing it, and seeing where you stand with them, kind of to echo what everybody else has already said. Is your project all-consuming and passionate? Is it something you believe in, that if you did run into someone that you knew, that was a friend of a friend, would you say, hey, check out my page, contribute it if you're so inspired, and backing the concept with your heart and soul, because otherwise, you know, it's not just like it's not online panhandling. There's an engagement that has to happen, which is great because you can track your super fans.
Yeah, I actually did read that, and my biggest takeaway was, I think one of you guys mentioned it already, was look at everyone else's campaigns, both the ones that succeeded and failed, and learn everything you can.
I was just going to say that that's the cool thing about crowdfunding. You can go look at failed campaigns, you can go look at successful campaigns, you can go look at different pitch videos, but really take the time and think about this one question. If you meet a stranger on the street and you stop him and you just tell him about your campaign, why would that person give you $5? Yeah. You know, like, think about it. Why would someone support you in the first place? Just because you set up a campaign and you're reaching out does not mean people have to give, right? So the compelling perks, give me a reason. Why would I support you? It's just like in real life. It's just you have to tell your crowd and convince your crowd that what I'm going to do is cool and it's worth a couple of bucks. And then you have a winning campaign. But you really have to be clear about all these things first.
Yeah. Aaron, what advice would you have for someone, step-by-step advice for planning, launching, promoting
campaigns? Right. Well, in the past, you know, a couple things that I would add to this is, you know, we came up with a list of influencers that we knew, people that were, you know, had large followings within our circle, and we reached out to them before we even launched the campaign, and we laid the groundwork and said, you know, we're going to be launching this thing, we'd really appreciate your help. So you build those and lay the groundwork for that. And then I created a promotion calendar where we laid out exactly how long the campaign was, and on this day we're going to do this thing. You know, we're going to update on this day, and this day. I think having that plan before you launch is incredibly important. And the last, the last thing I would add to that is something that people always forget, and from my experience, is that celebrate your success regardless of whether or not you hit your goal. You still had, even if you don't hit your goal, you still had all these people who believed in your idea and gave you money. Like, that's a pretty big thing. That's a pretty big deal.
Especially in the beginning of your campaign, once you only have two or three contributions maybe, already thank these people, be grateful about it, and be out there, and, you know, update your campaign every day. Don't wait until you make $500 or what you think is cool enough for you to make a video for your supporters. To show that you're grateful, and that you're actually running this campaign, and that you're on top of it, and that you're reachable, and that you're a real person that's out there trying to do something cool that's worth supporting. That's really the bottom line.
Yeah. So how you guys talked, Aaron, you mentioned about like keeping your supporters updated. Like, how important is it to keep them updated through your campaigns, especially for these ongoing campaigns? Like on Kickstarter, it's like there's a defined, and Indiegogo, there's like a defined beginning and end. But for these ongoing campaigns, what should we be updating our supporters about? How do we keep them engaged in those places for like the long haul, like for an ongoing period of time?
So one of the things we do to sort of highlight our membership program and that our members of our website really love that kind of helps keep it ongoing is, well, we try to do every day on the show, we thank one of our members. So we give them an on-air shout-out and say, hey, thanks for supporting us and keeping us going.
Do you like plug their YouTube channel and stuff too, or you just say their name?
Well, the YouTube channel's not so much. We just say their name pretty much. Okay. And then we utilize all of our social media for that too as well. I mean, we really want to drive home the point that these people have supported our show and are, you know, an exclusive member. They're an exclusive part of our audience. And so we just mention them as much as possible through, you know, live broadcasts, through YouTube clips, through social media.
It's awesome.
Very cool.
Very cool. Showing appreciation.
YouTube star guys, you seeing like what's a good way to keep
actually,
people engaged?
Well, you know, I'm actually engaged in a campaign myself because I was I took on the challenge that if I could fund my own campaign, you know, as one of the founders that you could do it. So believe me, I've had to like eat those words. I've been doing 16, 18-hour campaign days where it's like, if somebody likes something, if I put a campaign update on my Facebook and a person likes it, I reach out to that person personally. Hey, I noticed that you liked my post. Thank you very much. If you feel inspired, here's a link to my campaign page. You know, please share it with your friends and family. And own that and be responsible for it.
Yeah, and donate on their behalf.
Exactly.
And make sure that your emails aren't just like bulk copy and pasted emails. Like a personal email it takes a lot longer, but it goes a long way.
Yeah. It goes a lot farther. I was like reaching out to people that my wife went to college with. Like, hey, remember me? I met you at that wedding for 5 minutes. Hey, I just want to let you know we're here. We're doing this new thing. If there's anything I can do for you, you know, don't hesitate to ask.
Yeah,
that's one thing. You have to be ready to really put yourself out there. Crowdfunding is not something for the shy type, or you know, because you're going to have questions and you have to answer and accountability and everything. So you have to be ready to really be out there and support your campaign, stand behind it, and then you have a good chance of, you know, making it a success.
Cool. Jack, are you driving?
She's driving.
Oh, okay. I heard, I was like, okay, we're going to hear this. Black. No, we're wondering, like, what kind of things we would be updating our supporters about, and how do we keep them engaged for the long haul through, like, an ongoing campaign?
Yeah, that's the trick, isn't it? So that, you know, a lot of what we're doing at Patreon just is like working with our creators to try and help them figure out that exact problem, which is, you know, how do you keep people engaged? How do you keep your patrons excited and coming back? And mostly I think it's just, you know, attention and interaction and fostering that sense of community, you know, being active and being on the site, answering questions and comments and, you know, posting pictures and doing, you know, webcasts and things like that. I think that's really most of it, is just being active and a part of the community.
Yeah.
I agree. Doing successive video updates and letting your fans know that you are on it, you know, being creative, like we do shout outs, a daily shout out, whoever basically is a contributor that day gets a shout out with a text on their name, you know, cutting in Final Cut really quickly, sharing it, getting on YouTube. So, you know, they see that you're responding and giving them an update where you are financially, what your goals are every day. just being, you know, you have to push, you have to push it up the hill. You have to manage it. You have to be involved.
Yeah. Yeah. Lauren likes you guys' idea, the shout out even for my tiny channel. Yeah, something I hadn't really thought of before. I think that's awesome. Definitely going to start thinking about doing that myself. So what are some good perks that any examples of perks that like would make sense for almost any YouTube creator to offer like in their crowdfunding campaign or on their membership website? Or and then second to that is how can we discover maybe some other perks that we might be able to offer that are valuable to our audience that are kind of unique and different as well?
Okay, well, I think obviously, you know, for a YouTuber who's crowdfunding, videos are the perk of choice because your fans are following you in the first place because of your content. So, you know, if I'm supporting you so you can shoot more content and in exchange maybe I get some exclusive bonus content or, like I said before, you know, early 3D access if you feature content or whatever you can come up with, not only does that, like, feel natural in the whole YouTube ecosystem. That's why you have that a video is a perk. Also, it's just so much easier to deliver. You know, if you have reference, you don't have to deal with shipping, international shipping, and whatnot. These are things that bankrupt a lot of campaigns on Kickstarter, and there are a lot of articles about it. So I would always try and pick perks that are going to make my people happy. So really cool content, you know, stuff they can't get anywhere else. Yeah. That's a good reason. But like Jack said, you know, that's the tricky part, you know, to do this month after month after month.
Yeah. Yeah, Jack, what have you seen? Some kind of really good common stuff almost any YouTuber can offer as a perk.
I mean, basically a live version of your videos. So webcasts is a great, great thing that you know, that's a high tier that a lot of people get excited about is being available and open for people to answer their questions and interact with them. You know, in a live setting, that's really exciting for a lot of folks on YouTube. We found.
Cool. Aaron, yeah, I was going to say the same thing. Google Plus Hangout with your creators. One thing that we do on our website that our membership tends to love is we give them a membership number, so they almost wear that as like a badge of honor. You know, I'm member number one. I'm member number two. That's something that doesn't cost us anything to do, and they seem to love.
Huh. Cool. Becky Min suggests this is a cool idea. I think for gamers, a great perk would be to play with your paying subs. For other channels, maybe a G Plus chat. Yeah, that makes sense for me. Like, hey, I give out my Xbox gamer tag to all my paying people or something like that, you know?
That makes sense.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Thanks for that, Becky. Miss you guys, please, if you have like ideas like that too, keep sharing these. So how does one go about crafting a really good video trailer for their campaign or their membership site? I have heard and read in the crowdfunding Bible that we've already mentioned that campaign trailer video is so, so important. So what should we make sure we include in that? What should we maybe not include in that? You see a lot of mistakes people are making with that video. Is there an optimum length? Like just kind of what's the formula for really effective campaign video?
Short.
The five short. B's of public speaking. Be brief, baby. Be brief, right?
Make it short. Yeah, you know, 1 minute if you can. 2 minutes
so,
if you
So
must.
What do you include in 1 minute? What kind of stuff should you say?
Who you are, what you do, the perks.
Yes, exactly. Okay. Ours is, I think, mine is 1 minute and 23 seconds. Exactly. Why do you want the money? Who are you guys supporting? You know, what do you bring to the table
for exactly. All of that stuff? Just really
visually great. And with text. I mean, we did our videos. We shot one first, and I was like, yeah, it's not working. We just have to do something differently. And then the one we came out with really represents the content, you know, the theme of the channel, what you're really trying to create. And ours is a stand-up comedy channel, so we try to kind of take that to heart.
Another thing that I would like to mention is that it appears that a lot of YouTube users are not aware of the AdSense problem. They are not aware that a lot of creators are not making enough money. They think, hey, you got your YouTube channel, you got AdSense, you're a millionaire, right? And that you get that sentiment a lot. And I think that's really, really important in your pitch video to explain why you're here. Because that exact same thing is not working for you because you know, you're not there yet. You're not one of those multi-million view kind of guys. So that's just something that you need to, like, remind your audience of, because we take it for granted because we deal with it every day, but the ordinary, like our viewers, they don't know this.
Yeah.
I guess the only thing I would add to that is overproduction is bad, and underproduction is also bad. You have to find that sweet spot, because I've seen videos that are too slick, and then the first thing I think to myself is, well, why do these guys need my money if they're making videos like this?
Yeah.
And then whenever we've created crowdfunding in the past, the point that I always get the host to try to drive home is a sense of urgency. Like, you know, drive home how compelling your idea is and why you need to create this idea right now. I think that's really important.
If I could add one more thing too, something that a lot of people don't realize vloggers do is write scripts. They think that vloggers are just going up top. That's not, I mean, some vloggers do that and some vlogs are like that, but a lot of the time people write out a script and they say the line 8 times until they get a good version, and they keep it and they move on to the next line. And that provides for a very succinct, clear, solid video. It's like you're reading a well-written essay. And that's, I write scripts for all my vlogs. Even if they're not word for word, they're pretty close, and they let me know what the format and the pacing and the timing is, and that gives me a good sense of how I'm going to go through the video and how I'm going to keep it succinct. So don't be afraid to write a script and say each line a few times until you get a good take.
Great. Awesome. I think this encourages Latricia. Why, this has been very helpful. I've given up on YouTube, but maybe I should give it another try. That'd be awesome, Latricia. And then Clintus also shares this. I give shout-outs all the time. I just started using the audience tool to give shout-outs to my 10 most engaged. Makes them want to like and comment more often to get on the list. Yeah, if you go to youtube.com/audience, YouTube has a new tool now that that shows you who your top engaged fans are, and you can put them all in a Google Plus circle, and then you can maybe like interact with them first, maybe let them see content before anyone else. I'm thinking about using it to like send, like maybe once a month, send a video to the top 10 people and just say, hey, you know, a private video, just thank you for engaging in the video creators community, for answering so many people's questions in the comments of the video, and really just offering a lot of value. I really appreciate, you know, just private video stuff like that. It'd be really cool. So you guys, I see some questions coming through. If you got some more, now's the time to ask them. I'm going to get this couple of other questions people have already pre-submitted for this. But one more from me is, what's the best way to continually promote that you have a campaign or a membership website where people can support you without appearing like spammy, right? Like, that's the one thing I'm most concerned about. Like, what am I going to say in every single video? Like, please subscribe, and if you like this video, go over to my campaign or whatever, and like, you know, like, do I do that in every video, or how do I let people know about it without coming across as spammy all the time? What do I do?
I think a really good way, obviously, would be an annotation. If you can send an annotation with a link from a video to your crowdfunding campaign. Mm-hmm. We as TubeStart, we're in the process of getting whitelisted on YouTube right now, so that's possible. I hope that's going to be done next week or the week after, you know, YouTube, big company. But, you know, that's I think the easiest way and the most natural way to get traffic from YouTube, but you can obviously also use all your other social media outlets, and I think you have to throughout the campaign, not just once and then see what happens, because maybe I'll see it today and I don't feel like it, and 2 days later you post something again, like in a different mood. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to support this campaign right now. Don't spam people, you know, don't update 10 times a day, because people are just going to block you. But you know, keep them engaged throughout the campaign, and if you have a subscription campaign, then that's part of your job. And you have to engage them all the time, because you want a monthly contribution from them.
And just to interject, like, cheerleading is great. I mean, I totally know what you're talking about. And I always text people and ask, is this too obnoxious? Like, I know I'm posting this thing on my Facebook. Like, we're at $3,500 and counting. Like, please donate. So what I do is I reach out to my closest friends on, like, Facebook. And I'm like, look, I can't just promote this myself because I feel like it's going to be too much. But will you work with me to promote this on, like, not only my wall but your wall? And then we can get a couple other people involved. And it's just a matter of, again, owning the campaign, owning what you're doing, and reaching out to those people and engaging them. And having them even posted on your wall, you know, so it doesn't look like you're just...
Your inner circle of friends and family, they need to share it. They need to get it out there. You need to, you know, as much support as you possibly can.
Yeah. Aaron, how do you guys continually promote your membership site?
Well, I mean, I guess sort of a side note would be, in my experience, YouTube creators always think everything is too spammy when they make the ask. So I guess my piece of advice would be get some outside advice. Get someone who's going to tell you when you're being too spammy. And you have to push probably harder than you want to, in my experience.
I've noticed on the Young Turks like channel in general, like I almost never hear them talk about the site. All I see is maybe like a little light, like mostly transparent watermark that says YT membership.
Yeah. So our YouTube audience and our website audience are kind of different audiences.
Okay.
So if you would listen to the full show, you'd hear it pretty much every day. The full show gets published through podcast.
Okay.
Our YouTube, we don't take enough advantage of, in my opinion.
Take advantage of those suckers.
That's their job.
Yeah. Jackie, anything to add to that?
I mean, at the end of every one of
At the end of every one of his videos, he does something. So while he's coming back,
I have a call to action at the end of a video.
Yes, absolutely.
Is that what you were saying, Jack?
Hey, sorry. This is tough, guys. At the end of every one of my videos, I have a link to my Patreon page. I embed it in some creative way, like if I'm playing a DJ pad and using a projector, I'll project the link on on a surface and pan the camera by it or something. But I try to incorporate it into the creativity of what it is that I'm doing. And also at the end of my videos, I have a vlog, and I know that most people don't watch the vlog. Some people do. And those people want to hear about my life. They want to know what the updates are. They want to know how my crowdfunding campaign is going. And so I have a vlog at the end of my videos. I think it's a better way to foster a community, too, to keep in touch with your audience. So I think as long as you're natural and honest, it's not spam. Don't make all your vlogs only about money. I think as long as you're talking about, fun, exciting things other than money, or just important things that people need to hear about or be aware of, or things that you care about, or giving people insight into something important. Keeping it fresh and so you're not always hammering home just pay me is important.
Yeah. Great. Scotty has an idea. Maybe something. What about a monthly drawing for a gift, to get subscriptions? I mean, do you guys do any giveaways or something like that to maybe incentivize your people to sell?
Your creativity is really the limit here. I mean, whatever monthly perk you can come up with that people are willing to give you money for is a great perk, and, in my opinion. And the trick is just to keep it fresh and engaging every month. And if you're a killer drawing, then give drawings as a perk. That's fine. I think it's really cool. It really doesn't matter. I like it because you can email it. No shipping, no problem for that. So yeah, I think it's cool.
I think though, one thing that's important to remember though is you're gonna have a lot of people that sign up just to get that gift and then cancel their memberships as soon as they get their gift. So you have to be aware that there's gonna be a large percentage of those signups that are just. You would be amazed what people do for a free T-shirt or some other piece of merch.
Well, they can sign up for $50, right? Yeah. Cool. All right, well, we got some questions that you guys are asking in the comments, and I'm going to highlight some of those. We also have some questions that some people have pre-submitted on the Google Plus event page for this. First, Ami asks, my videos take a long time to produce, and I subscribe to her channel, and they do. They do. She does really good content, really, really creative stuff. So for her, she says, creating additional perk material for donators would take up only more time, eating into the time that could be spent on my main videos. How special does the extra content need to be to satisfy the donors, and would something simple suffice?
Yes. Spend time on your main content and have your perks be simple and interactive. That would be, you don't want to overwhelm yourself with a crowdfunding campaign. I think that's most people's mistake when it comes to crowdfunding, is overwhelming, overcommitting, and winding up not being able to fulfill your commitments.
you could do like a behind the scenes kind of video or something that's just really easy and quick to produce that kind of lets your fans be part of your production and where you at, and just like now, just talk to the camera and just tell them what's going on. You know, I think that alone goes a long way in just keeping people connected to you. So I don't think it necessarily has to be like this huge production value kind of thing that you have to come up with every month. It's more about just engaging your audience and keeping them supporting you.
Yeah,
I agree. If it's authentic, then that's really the most important thing to me.
Yeah.
Great. Edo, I think is how you say it, HD. I would like to know what web platforms they are using for selling merchandise, or what would be the easiest way to manage merchandise and products. For example, should they just use like a certain WordPress template, or should they use an online store service or some other platform? Like, what would you guys recommend for merch?
I mean, I would recommend use what people have set up already. Use Cafe Press, use Spreadshirt, use District Lines, because merch is, it could take a really long time to set up if you were setting up custom. So just use what's already built. Those sites are fabulous.
I hate doing like order fulfillment, so I would much rather automate it, even if it means I only make $2 instead of like $8, $9, $10 for sure. Right.
Yeah, and once your business grows big enough and once you sell enough shirts and enough merch, then you can still do it in-house, but this is certainly the way to go in the beginning.
Great. Zeke Iden says, are you worried that Google will take steps to somehow limit or even punish people who try to circumvent their main revenue model? Jack, you got any thoughts?
Yes, I have thoughts. A lot of thoughts on that. Google is thrilled about crowdfunding. Great. They want their creators to be making a living. Anything that incentivizes hundreds of thousands of creators to keep uploading hundreds of thousands of videos to YouTube, as far as Google is concerned, they're stoked. So, I've had a couple meetings with YouTube so far and Google, and they're extremely supportive. That's why they are, you know, they are whitelisting companies like TubeStart and Patreon, because they want us to have power. They want creators to be using our platforms. They want more minutes of content on YouTube. They're an ad company. They're not interested in competing with us. Google's main job is serving eyeballs up to advertisers. So they don't view us as competition, at least not to my knowledge right now. And I think anything that helps the creators make a living, they're excited about. They send anybody with over 100,000 subscribers, they send a $500 gift card to B&H. So, YouTube is actively trying to help their creators. They want them to be making money. So yeah, don't worry about that. No punishment. Don't even give that a second.
We can confirm that. We've had the very same experience with YouTube. They love it.
They do. I think it's worth recognizing too that AdSense and crowdfunding are very complementary, and what a great way to exactly have for the first time in history a one-to-one connection between creator and consumer of creative content. I mean, we've never had this before, and crowdfunding really generates that relationship. It shows you that, oh yeah, these people really do like your content, and it's great because as a consumer of content, I love to be associated with the Guild or whatever show it is that we happen to be watching at the time.
Yeah.
I think that Google is unfairly blamed for the low AdSense earnings. It's not just their, I mean, it's not even remotely their fault. This is old media versus new media, right? And it's only a matter of time before that new media money keeps coming over. You know, it's over time, it's trending our direction. I think Google knows that they're ahead of the curve, and over time, the AdSense will grow. So, if I were Google, I could see why they would applaud all of these crowdfunding initiatives.
Great. Hey guys, I'm starting to break up more and more here, so I think before it gets too uncomfortable and unbearable, I'm just going to sign off and say thank you very much for
nice meeting you.
Thank you. Nice meeting you.
Yeah, thanks for hanging out, man.
It was
appreciate your time.
It was really great to meet you guys. I'm sorry I kept cutting in and out, but thank you for including me in this dialogue. And I hope we can do another one.
Sounds good.
Awesome. Thank you.
So Chris Myers has a couple questions all wrapped up into one. Anybody have any experience with YouTube's new paid monthly subscription service? Wink, wink, Aaron. Can you give us the lowdown and review some of the features for us? And then he has a second part I'll do after you talk about that.
I think the most important thing to drive home about the paid subscription service is the structure that you set is very, very important. You have to make sure that that content is exclusive enough for people to pay for. Our channel is TYT Plus, and I think the reason why we chose, a big part of the reason why we chose that framing is this is an additional layer of TYT. I think that you can't just jump into it without a plan, and I think that if you set the right structure, it could definitely work. I think people rightly mentioned that you're going against the grain of viewership on YouTube and people are used to getting things for free, but in my opinion, if the structure's right, it could definitely work over time. It's going to be a long haul, but it's definitely going to work over time, in my opinion.
Cool. And so the second part of his question is that he runs the tutorial channel, and he does a lot of lessons for free on YouTube, and he wants to switch to offering like a free sample like video on his channel, and then kind of making the rest of them available for download through his paid annual subscription fee to his website. And so he's wondering what experiences you guys have had with that and any advice you might offer on how to make that transition, when to make that transition, pros and cons of going to that sort of model.
Wow. So I would actually advise against doing that. I think if you've had that much content out for free for so long and then to pull it back behind a curtain is probably not a very good idea, in my opinion.
What is that?
I think that your audience would feel a little jaded by that. I would change the framing to help me continue to help you guys, you know, support me to create this show. I think that's a perfect opportunity for a crowdfunding situation where you say, look, you know, I really love creating this content. I think, you know, there's an audience for this content, and help me continue to create this content by, you know, giving to my crowdfunding campaign. I think once you have it out there in the ether to then pull it back, is you're going to make your audience pretty mad when you do that.
Agreed.
Yeah.
I think if the crowdfunding is well explained, just the voluntary nature of it itself is a huge plus, because I'm offering you the opportunity to support me, make the content you enjoy. I'm not going like, here's the subscribe button, if you don't like it, go somewhere else, right? That might work if you have like, I don't know, if you're Sesame Street and you have, you know, thousands and thousands of videos and millions of kids who want to watch that stuff, and you put up their button a couple of months, they're going to click it, right? But most of the people who are crowdfunding don't have a big enough of a crowd to drive enough AdSense revenue, let alone drive enough subscriptions, because that's just like everyone said, you know, people are used to getting content for free. So maybe that will change over time, but right now I just don't think it's a smart move for anyone who has less than 10 billion views.
You're
cannibalizing your AdSense revenue. If you think about this, you know, if you put your feature content behind the subscription wall, you're gonna lose 99.99% of your views. So there's no more AdSense revenue either, and that's the beauty about crowdfunding, especially a subscription-based crowdfunding that is complementary. You can run it side by side to your AdSense. You know, your main feature content stays open, accessible to everyone, which is really important because people want to watch Tim's stuff before they really decide to become a supporter, maybe for a couple of months. Maybe, you know, I don't know how long it's going to take for someone to go, like, I'm willing to pay $5 for this, right? But if you hide it behind a subscription wall, you will never reach that point. You'll never reach a point where someone likes your content enough to really click on it unless it's like an internationally known brand that people really want to see.
Yeah.
I mean, there's been so many reports about how millennials love to feel like they're making an impact on the world. Mm-hmm. And so I think if you give them if they're personally invested in helping your content succeed, I think that really has a big impact.
Yeah. People, Aaron, you're developing a fan base, just so you know. And then look at this one. Aaron knows his stuff.
Thanks.
And got some other ones here too. But Yeah, I would say, like, similarly, I made this mistake in a different niche. Before I was in the YouTube niche, I made my living for 2 years full-time as a full-time blogger. I had all my content for free for, you know, like, years. And then I decided to, like, oh, I'm going to put some of this stuff behind a paywall. I'm going to start charging for, like, some of this. And everyone was like, whoa, Tim, like, what are you doing? Like, we're used to getting free stuff from you. What are you doing, getting greedy now or something, you know? And it's just like, it didn't work. And I did turn, but it took a long time, like, for people to start getting used to, like, hey, I can pull out my wallet with Tim, you know, as opposed to, like, they're used to going to, like, a different blogger who has tons of product. Like, they're used to reading his content and thinking they could pull out their wallet with them, but not with me. And so I would say, just based on that experience, assuming that it transfers to YouTube, is keep doing the same content you're already doing on your YouTube channel and find something like an additional value to put behind, like, a premium paid wall or something.
I would like to just add another benefit of crowdfunding over, for example, using the subscription wall, which is the fundamental problem that you as a YouTube creator do not own your subscriber. You basically, yeah. Someone clicks the subscribe button, you basically own the opportunity of your videos being shown on their homepage, but that's pretty much it. So if you crowdfund, and especially if you do something ongoing, like on Patreon or TubeStart, you get access to those email names and email addresses. So you actually build it off YouTube's paying subscriber base that you can market to, that you can go like, hey guys, I have a blog, hey guys, I have a merch store, hey, you know, I have this and that through email. Which is an underestimated but a huge, huge benefit of just audience building itself that crowdfunding brings with it.
Yeah, let's talk about the email thing. Then I also want to make a note of a conversation these people are having in the comments. But can we have some advice? If we keep an email list for all our subscribers, how can we monetize an email list comprised of YouTube subscribers versus a blog's email list, or are they the same? Mike, I think is really important not just to have all of your subscribers on YouTube. So at the end of every single video of mine, you'll see, like, I kind of zoom into the corner and I got, like, some other videos that perform well in converting non-subscribed viewers into subscribers for me. So that's why I highlight those. And then at the bottom, like, my ebook, you know. So it's kind of like my incentive for, like, hey, I'll give you this free ebook, The Secret to Building Your YouTube Audience. If you become a video creator's insider. So I'm kind of making it like this, like, you become an insider, like it's this exclusive thing, which it kind of is. I send things to those people. I send exclusive content to those people every week. And you get this free ebook. And what I found is, like, a lot of people are like, I wish YouTube would give us the email addresses of our subscribers. But what I'm getting, I'm not just getting, like, their junk email addresses often that you would, like, their Gmail addresses with their YouTube account are often, like, that's what they use them for. Instead, like, I'm actually getting, like, their work and their business email addresses that they're actually checking and sitting in front of all day, and giving them, like, here's an incentive for subscribing. And I found about one in every three of my my YouTube subscribers convert and become a email subscriber as well. So I think it's really important when subscriptions start breaking down and they're not working on YouTube that you still have that other list. Or let's say you decide to go to a different platform or something else, like, and that's like a whole different group of people that I, like, I view those relationships much more seriously, maybe, than I do, like, my YouTube subscribers, because, like, those email people are, like, they're reading stuff, and they're actually taking, like, they're taking our relationship to, like, a next level, kind of, if that sounds weird. A couple things. We got two questions for you guys because it's already after time. So I'm going to hit up a question from Katie and Becky. But before we do that, I want to answer. There's a little discussion about affiliate links in the chat here. You guys are having, and there's all this discrepancy. Like, hey, can I use, like, affiliate marketing in my video? So if I'm doing like a review about a new external hard drive or a new video camera, can I put my Amazon Associates link in the description text of my video and link to that so that, like, I get a little kickback from, you know, talking about the product and reviewing it? And the discussion is, does that break YouTube's terms of service or not? And this is kind of a big debate, but I just want to put in my two cents is that I don't think it does. I've asked YouTube myself personally about that, and they were like, no, I don't see why it would. It's one thing if you're using a link that you get paid when someone clicks it, but if it's just like an affiliate where it goes and you get paid if someone buys the product, those are different. and as long as the link is relevant to the content in the video. So if you're not just making like a still image picture of a video camera for a minute and a half with all your affiliate links below, like that might, that's kind of sketchy. But if you're actually adding value to your viewer by offering them a link of where they can find that product on Amazon, for example, then that would be fine. Have you guys heard anything different about that?
I've worked with channels in the past for quite a long time that have used the Amazon affiliate link and never heard anything from YouTube. So I think you're pretty safe too. I mean, based on my experience. Yeah.
I've read the terms of service part that was like a 4D, I think is where it is, and the terms of service that people refer to. And what that part is referring to is actually not about affiliate links, but it's saying basically what it comes down to is you can't do anything that you should. It's against the terms of service to do anything that circumvents the AdWords and AdSense system on YouTube. So if you are doing anything that, like, when they're talking about advertising, that's what they're talking about. So if you're doing anything to, like, block ads or to replace the ads on YouTube with your own ads or something like that, that would break the terms of service. So that's what that's about. So let's move on. So Katie Morton says, are you worried about YouTube taking the best items from your platforms, Patreon and TubeSart, and incorporating them into their future upgrades?
No. I think it's like Jack said before. They love what we're doing, and I think that we're filling a gap basically that might very well be temporary in their view, because if ad revenue grows and people get more independent and actually can make a living off of AdSense, then maybe there'll be a different reason for crowdfunding. But no, I don't think so.
I hope they don't, because they have so many other things to focus on. I'd hate to see them add another thing to that list. You know.
I know that Google started a crowdfunding platform, but it's more like a donation based something for charities, for causes. I know they're doing that, but nothing in regards to YouTube.
Cool. Becky asks, so you have like a base level for the tutorial stuff for free, and then can he move on to like a paid level where he goes more in depth? Have you guys seen that type of model work on YouTube?
Put the other part.
Like it's an introduction tutorial for color correction or something, and then they take you offsite and you become then you have unlocked that. It works, but I think open content is ultimately more successful because not only do you get to take advantage of the AdSense revenue model, but you also build your audience. You can come back and then you can, keep just generating.
Open content gets shared.
Yeah, it gets shared. So it's like it's available not just to you, but to everybody else. I mean, lynda.com is a very successful closed model, and I learned a ton of editorial stuff from them, and they're fantastic. But I think in the long run, we're going to see a lot more open content.
Yeah. Great. Well, thank you, each of you guys, for being here, and for the rest of you guys who are hanging out with us.
I just hit
my microphone. Welcome. Thanks for hanging out. This is your first time here. It'd be awesome to have you guys subscribe to Video Creators. We do these every single month. It's usually the last Tuesday of every month. We do a live hangout just like this for you guys, so you can circle us, Video Creators, on Google+. You want to keep up with that or subscribe to the YouTube channel. Either one of those would be awesome to have you guys there. And thank you, Aaron and Joseph and Claude and Jack.
Thank you.
Not here. I learned a lot. Now I got to figure out, what's my model going to look like? I really believe I need to keep this free because I believe it can help a lot of people and spread messages that otherwise wouldn't spread that really need to spread.
Call us tomorrow. We'll figure it out.
That's right.
We'll figure it out. Yeah. I'm floating back and forth between like a paid membership site or doing like a campaign, and there's pros and cons of both. And I'm not sure which one I've landed on yet. So in the meantime, it's more than full time just to keep three videos going a week, plus all the research that's required just, for that content and all that stuff. So I'll figure it out. But this has been super helpful, and I really appreciate you guys' time. And if any of you guys have any further questions who are watching this, where can they follow you guys or reach out to you guys or get in touch with you?
You can follow me on Twitter at Aaron Wysocki, just the at symbol of my name. That's the best way to get a hold of me.
Okay. At Clutch Shires.
I guess for us it's at TubeStart.
Yep.
That's the easiest.
Okay, just tweet them on the little Twittersphere, and I'm at Tim Schmoyer there. So thanks for hanging out with us, guys. And
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Look forward to seeing all you guys again next month for another Google Plus Hangout on Air. And, of course, tomorrow on the channel with our YouTube creators, our YouTube tip idea stuff. So see you guys then. Bye.